Just how much is the European debt crisis hurting American companies?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with news from corporate earnings season. The quarterly season started after the market closed yesterday, as it always does, with the stock symbol AA. That stands for Alcoa, one of the world's largest aluminum producers. The company announced its first quarterly loss since 2009, and it says the European debt crisis is to blame. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live now with more on this story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what exactly is Alcoa saying?
Well, they lost almost $250 million in the last quarter. They say largely, but not exclusively, due to the Eurozone debt crisis. Alcoa's customers here, the companies that use aluminum, automakers, construction firms, companies that make packaging, they're all clearly worried that the Eurozone might slide into recession, and they've cut back, and that's hit Alcoa's bottom line.
And Alcoa is a big company that makes aluminum, it makes stuff. Are other American companies of all kinds likely to be affected by the euro crisis in this way?
Well, those companies that do a lot of business with the Eurozone certainly could suffer, but not perhaps corporate America as a whole. U.S. exports to the Eurozone account for less than 2% of U.S. economic output. So as Carl Weinberg, a U.S. chief economist at High Frequency Economics, told the BBC this morning, the Eurozone debt crisis seems unlikely to sabotage the American recovery.
If Euroland goes into a sharp economic downturn, exports won't drop to zero to Europe. We'll see a few tenths of a percent off our GDP, which will be sad to lose, but won't derail the core U.S. economy.
But if the debt crisis spirals out of control and triggers another banking crisis, given the global nature of banking, that could certainly do a lot more damage on your side of the pond.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, now to Washington, where the National Transportation Safety Board is holding a hearing today. Officials will be asking about the safety of daredevil events, specifically events like the air show in Reno, Nevada last September, in which a World War II-era plane crashed into a crowd of spectators, killing 11 and injuring 70. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports.
Planes are supposed to fly mostly parallel to the grandstands at air shows and not point directly at the crowd. But aviation attorney Mike Danko says it isn't the first time that rule has failed to keep spectators safe.
The problem with that, which we should have known previously, is that it doesn't work when an aircraft goes out of control. But that has happened in the past, so the FAA wasn't paying attention.
Danko says the Federal Aviation Administration has created a false impression that it carefully regulates the industry. Mostly, he says, the agency takes the word of air show organizers.
It would almost be better if the FAA backed out entirely, and then people would know that they're taking their chances.
Michael Barr is an aviation safety expert at the University of Southern California. He agrees regulators need to take a more active role, but points out there's no way to guarantee safety.
Try to look at every single risk that can happen. You will end up closing the air show. You'll just stop all air shows.
More than 10 million people attend air shows in the U.S. every year, and until last year, there hadn't been any spectator fatalities since 1951. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are about 1 to 3% higher across Europe right now, and also up is Coors Light's spot in the American beer rankings. It knocked Budweiser out of the number 2 spot in terms of shipments. Bud Light remains on top. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow knocked back another 32 points to close at 12,392.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
We all know you can recycle cans, bottles, boxes, and paper, but what about soap? Like the bars of soap that you get at hotels and only use a little bit of. Well, as it turns out, recycled hotel soap is the latest frontier in corporate efforts to go green. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
When Derek Kayongo came to the U.S. as a refugee from Uganda, a lot of American practices struck him as odd. His first time staying at a hotel, he wondered why the housekeeper replaced his bar of soap every day with a new one. So he asked the front desk,
"What do you do with a partially used bar?" He said, "We throw those out." I went back to my room and I lost it. I understood what it means not to have amenities like soap. Soap is the first line of defense against germs and diseases.
Diseases that kill millions of poor people around the world and could be easily prevented. Years later, Derek Kiongo's rented a warehouse in Atlanta. It's full of huge bins holding thousands of tiny soaps.
So each of these bins has half a ton.
His global soap project collects them from hotels around the country. Volunteers scrape off the outer layer, grind up the soap underneath, and make new bars.
This is what we give to a family of four, and it lasts them about a month because they take showers not as often as we do because of access of water and all those things.
The project's been limited by shipping costs, for one. Soap is heavy, and Kiongo's got just one grinder.
If I had five of these machines, I would make a million bars.
A new partnership with Hilton Hotels might let him. The company's offered not just soap, but expertise in global supply chains and funding for equipment and transport. Hilton's vice president of sustainability, Christopher Corpuel, says it's not meant to sway individual customers to stay at his hotels. Environmental and social efforts give Hilton an edge for big corporate contracts.
Whether it's meetings, events, large customers who do multiple rooms with us, those customers are wanting to know what we do as a company as it relates to sustainability.
Because it helps those clients meet their goals and tell a good story, too. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally to New Hampshire, which, if you haven't noticed, is holding a primary today. Now, the Granite State isn't very representative economically. It's got the fourth lowest jobless rate in the nation at 5.2%, the lowest poverty rate in the country at 8.3%. And yet, according to a recent Bloomberg News poll, the number one issues for voters in New Hampshire is the economy. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.